Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, if I'm so tired tonight, I fall asleep when I'm home, when I'm home. Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the Power Slam podcast here on Patreon on Thursday, a day early, or in the main feed on Friday. We are pre-recording this on Tuesday, everybody, so we're just going over some news that's happened as of now. So, you know, if something happens on Wednesday or Thursday, please don't come at us. It is not our fault if things happen. I'm here with Finn, as always. Finn, how you doing?
I'm very well, Kenny, yes. Yeah, very well.
Well, you know, we covered recently Goldberg's criticisms of AEW and the fact that he said it was too cheesy for him, but Tony Khan has rebutted Goldberg. And Tony Khan said, Bill wanted to work here. I met with Bill several times. Bill was looking to work here. It's funny because I had a bunch of really nice meetings with Bill and would have honestly been interested in doing something. I have a lot of respect for Bill. I was surprised by that because that certainly wasn't what he said to me when he was talking to me about working here at some point, which I've always been open to, and I really like Bill. And he goes on to talk about Sting's retirement and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, Tony Khan has a lot of things that you can probably slate him for, but I just don't get the vibe that he's a liar, that he's like going to pretend that Bill Goldberg wanted to work there when he didn't. So it kind of feels like Goldberg's been outed a wee bit here in this comment that Tony Khan has, given back.
Well, I mean, Goldberg did admit, didn't he, when he referred to the AEW product as cheesy and being something that he felt was beneath him, that he had met with Tony Khan a number of times. So, I mean, the thing is, it depends what the actual language was that was used by Goldberg. Yeah. And it's possible that he'll have said to Tony Khan, yeah, I'd love to work for you, Tony, you know, under the right circumstances. You know, oh, I'd love to work for you if the money was right. Oh, I'd love to work for AEW, you know, if there's a show and the right opponent and the creative was to my liking. So, just because it's possible that Goldberg did use those words, but it would be under the proviso that it was, you know, up to the standards that I'm expecting from whatever I'm going to do at this point in my life and career, you know? So I don't really know how to answer or comment really any further than that. I'm sure, yeah, Goldberg would have loved to work for AEW if they were going to pay him six figures or more, and they came up with something for him that worked for him. It seems like they never did. Because had they done so, then surely it would have happened.
I mean, for me, I just feel like it's something where, you know, if you're going to go out there and sort of say how terrible you think or how cheesy you think it is and all that, like, it's not a great sign when the guy who you were talking... Because if you meet him several times, you're clearly... There's a level of interest, you know, and It'd be one thing if Goldberg said, you know, I would have worked there. I told him what I didn't like, you know, and but he, Tony Khan maintains that he was never told in any conversations he had with Goldberg that Goldberg had any problems with the product or had any issues. So that kind of a
Oh,
stalemate.
but the
He
deal never, but the deal never happened, did it? He never wrestled there, so there was obviously a reason, you know, why Goldberg never went to AEW, and probably it was because he didn't like the product. I
but
would say, I mean, you know, because if everyone was in agreement, then it would have happened, and
but
that
I
and
mean,
we would now be talking about that Goldberg match that probably would have been a disaster.
it could just be, I mean, what's probably more likely is the fact that Goldberg wanted way more money
Yes, quite
than you know
possibly.
Tony. I'm sure Tony Khan would have paid a lot of money for Goldberg, but I'm sure he knows that you know he's not really going to get, because I don't think Goldberg is going to give you the Sting run. He's not going to be there most weeks, and because I mean, it really felt like Sting became part of the roster. He became, you know, intricately involved with people, and he was in there and involved in a lot of angles, and he wrestled on loads of pay-per-views. Like he really got in there and grabbed
Yeah.
it. So
Yeah.
I think you know that could also be it, as Goldberg might have said, "Well, I'll do this amount of money," and Tony's thinking, "Great," and then he says, "But I'm only going to do 10 dates a year," and then it becomes,
Well,
well.
probably not even that. He wasn't doing 10 dates a year in WWE, was he?
No, so, but yeah, so Goldberg has come back. We'll see if anything else comes of it. I can't imagine the working relationship is going to happen now. But
That's it.
speaking of
Yeah,
Tony,
these public disclosures. I don't think are going to soothe tensions. I don't think we're going to have this a big reconciliation and announcement that Goldberg's going to be at Wembley in August.
no, I don't think that's going to happen. But you know, we talked on PowerSlam last week about Tony Khan and the angle. With the Bucks on
Yeah.
the end of last week's show and Jack Perry, but that is not the biggest reason that Tony Khan is in the news, because Tony Khan was doing an NFL interview last week
Wearing a neck brace.
wearing a neck brace, so you've got to respect the hustle that he is committing to the gimmick. And he was talking about, he was just bigging up AEW, right, as you would imagine he was going to do, and he was talking about how you know AEW is the Pepsi of pro wrestling, which is kind of a good. If you're calling yourself the Pepsi and WWE the Coke, like, that's quite a good,
That's a decent analogy.
yeah. And you know, like there's always that thing of like some people just love Pepsi, but a lot more people love Coke, and then but there's a whole kind of dynamic between them. But anyway, he said that. But then the thing that really caught fire was he said that you know we're like the Pepsi and WWE are the Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling, and that's got a lot of people talking. In various ways, because it's not like he said Vince McMahon is the Harvey Weinstein, because you know a lot of people probably wouldn't have a problem with him saying that, because you could maybe draw compatible scenarios based on accusations that are out there. But
Yeah, but I mean, Bret Hart actually did quote when it all came out back in late January. Bret Hart, I think, made a reference there, didn't he? Yeah.
so you know, if he'd said that, I don't think people would have really batted an eyelid. But
No.
I think saying that WWE as a company. Well, I think what he means, and he didn't word it well at all, is that, you know, all the Vince stuff that happened probably didn't happen with just Vince. There were probably a few other people who either knew things or were aware of things or whatever, right? But it's not the whole company. It's not even, you know, the majority of the guys. There was probably a handful of people who even knew what was going on, if that. And I think when you, but I think instead of Tony Khan saying that, you know, that he basically just said the company, and that's going to rub a lot of people up the wrong way, you know, that are working hard to try and break that opinion and try and
Yeah,
turn things around. But
absolutely. And I imagine, you know, Tony was venting as well. You know, his big angle last week ended up being a total flop on the night and an absolute ratings disaster. I mean, Dynamite last week drew 683,000 viewers, which was, I think, the lowest number in like 3 years or something for Dynamite. So, I mean, yeah, his ratings are just tanking right now. I mean, very poor attendance for Dynasty. I think it drew fewer than 7,000 fans on the night.
Yeah, I think they set it up smaller, and I think Dynasty is also, I think it was down like quite a lot on pay-per-view buys. I mean, it was
Yeah.
also maybe down from the Sting Revolution, but I think it was down considerably more than had thought. to that it would thought to be.
Well,
So
no real surprise. Where were the stories? Where were the issues? Where was the purpose and meaning of the matches? It's like if you're just throwing out these so-called dream matches, that's not a draw. That's not going to sell. And we've been saying this for months, if not longer, about AEW. And, Tony's just, off in his own little world, just ignoring all this advice. And then to make this comment.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a great week for Tony Khan, was it? I mean, I don't know why he said those words. I wouldn't say those words. As you just spelled it out, had he just referred to one person, VKM, in those terms, then yeah, I don't think anyone would have really objected to it. But as we know, Vince is no longer involved in WWE. I mean, he sold most of his shares. I think he's actually registered to sell them all, hasn't he now?
Yeah. I think they're all, soon. Well, I don't think it's happened yet, but soon all the shares will be sold, and he'll have no say or anything.
Well, he won't even be a shareholder, will he?
Yeah.
So he obviously has no say now. He's had no involvement since late January when he resigned.
I guess he won't benefit from anything. He won't have any involvement even as a shareholder. So
that's right. Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, he's either sold them all, or they're about to be sold. So there'd be just no connection at all between Vince and WWE. So I mean, to be honest with you, if I was Tony Khan, I would issue an apology for that, Kenny. And just sort of say, listen, I was out of line. I would just like to apologize for that statement. And I think people would look at him very favorably if he had the gumption to do that and admit that he was wrong, because that was, that was just, yeah. I just don't think that was, I thought it was a very poor choice of words. And I know people in AEW were upset about it. And lots of people in WWE were as well, because he felt it was unfair, especially as the company is distancing itself from Vince and, making, attempts to really cleanse its image after everything that came out in late January, everything that had come out in 2022. So, yeah, I think that was a low blow, Kenny. That's how I interpreted that. There was really no need for it.
Yeah, I think he could have said it about Vince and people would have probably high-fived him for it, because he was sort of saying what a lot of people think. But by saying it about the company, it's tough. But speaking of, Tony Khan is obviously, this is the big year for them to try and get a new deal. And it's looking like the NBA are maybe not going to be with TNT, so that might help their case. But MJF has undergone some surgery, so there's no sort of timetable for his AEW return. He will be returning, probably before the end of the summer, but it's not going to be like tomorrow, we don't think. But how much of sort of the ratings not being what they are, or pay-per-view buys being a little bit down, can any of it be attributed to MJF's absence, do you think?
Well, some of it can be. I mean, we should say that Kenny Omega is returning on Wednesday of this week, isn't he? We should mention that.
Yeah, he did say in his Twitch stream that he had said to Tony Khan, maybe, and then he was advertised. It's like, I guess I'm coming back.
I mean, what's Kenny Omega doing revealing that publicly?
On a Twitch stream.
Oh. And people wonder why AEW is in the state it's in. I mean, Kenny Omega did not need to disclose that. He just makes them look like amateurs.
Well, yeah, it's that thing you should be saying, even if that's true. Like, if you're being paid, like, say Kenny, I mean, Kenny Omega is, I'm assuming, paid millions of dollars a year, right?
He was, him and the Young Bucks and Adam Page, they did the deal collectively. We know the Bucks got, I think it was over $1 million a year each. And if they got $1 million a year each, you know what Omega did as well.
I mean, it's hard because I'm a promoter, and I've in the past there's times where you pay somebody something, and in theory, when you're paying them, they should be working for you, for like what you're doing. And in wrestling, the dynamic is very difficult because it's almost you're not made to feel like you're in charge of the person, or that you're the one in charge. It's a wrestling is very strange that way, and I'm sure if anybody's promoted in, they know what I mean by that, but. You manage it. You manage it as you feel you need to. But if you run
Yeah,
up,
you absolutely. And you don't speak out turn. You keep your mouth shut. You toe the party line. When I always say, when you're on the team comes first. When you're not on the team, then fair enough. You'll put the boot in. You can knock the team. But when you're on the team, don't knock the team, because you've signed up to this. And then, especially if they're paying you handsomely. And even if they're not, you need to respect the team and don't bury the boss. You just don't bury the boss. So that was just something that Kenny Omega did not need to put in the public domain, because it just makes it look like Tony Khan doesn't know what he's doing. Well, we know that anyway, but don't confirm it.
he it's strange, but I mean he should have been on the phone to just say that he should have been on the phone just saying, do you know what? Don't do that again. I don't want to see that again. That, he should have put his foot down, but he chose not to. And it is what it is.
Yeah, but going back to your original question about MJF, I mean, in the latest issue of Inside the Ropes magazine, which is on sale now, I mean, somebody asked me a question about MJF in Q&A, and I came up with, a storyline for MJF, which I think would work really well. Because, I mean, we haven't seen him since World's End. I think he probably has been mentioned a couple of times on TV, but, if he has, very, very infrequently. It's May tomorrow, so we haven't seen him in 4 months, and he should be doing something for his money. He should be contributing to a storyline. The one that I've laid out there in the latest issue of Inside the Ropes magazine, if AEW wants to use that, be my guest. I think something like that would work really well. But there should be some sort of, people trying to, because as far as we know, in the storyline, MJF has not re-signed a contract with AEW. As far as we know, right?
Yes, as far as we know.
But we know he has re-signed a contract and he is with AEW and will be returning. We know that. So there should be some sort of, story going on where Tony Khan's trying to re-sign him, and trying to woo him. On something like that. And this can all be connected to the betrayal by Adam Cole, and the faction, the Undisputed Kingdom. So they can all be involved in this to some extent. I mean, not that they're over or anyone really cares about any of them, particularly poor Wardlow. But I mean, try and get some, squeeze some value out of what they did at World's End and work it into a storyline that can fill some TV time and try and build up some drama in the interim before MJF returns. Will he or won't he re-sign with AEW? That should be a storyline that they're, promoting each week and leading to a point where MJF makes his big decision. So, I mean, I think something like that would be interesting. I think the fans would be interested in something like that. And you're going to get some sort of return on MJF's massive contract. And you're going to involve the, Undisputed Kingdom guys who are not really doing a whole lot. So I don't really understand it, Kenny, but there's so much about AEW that makes no sense to me. And this is just another layer to the nonsense.
I did want to ask you about because this is something that came out a few years ago, but we ended up publishing a story about it on the website because it was a significant historical story. We talked on the Overrun about who could have replaced Hogan in the 80s expansion. And, we talked about who we thought it could be. And then we answered the question about, Rick Rude and Curt Hennig and how they could have potentially, if they could have potentially been. But Jim Cornette on the Jim Cornette Experience back in 2017, he had a different answer as to who he thought could have been the guy to do it. So I thought I'd just give you the quote and see what you think. So basically, Cornette says Dusty Rhodes. And what he said was Vince would have had to have changed a lot because Dusty just wasn't going to look like Hulk Hogan physically. I think Dusty could have probably changed a little bit, but at the same time, I didn't know Dusty till 84. Dusty in the late 70s was so hot and so popular, and Dusty Mania was nuts, even though it wasn't called that. Just the fact he was the most popular guy in the business at one point. I don't know if Dusty and Dream's ego, was as big as Texas. I don't know if he felt he was the one that needed to change at that point, or whether the promoter needed to change. Because why would you change something that had worked everywhere? It went for Dusty, but then talks about how, turning up the American Dream. But do you think there's any way that if Vince had decided to sort of open his mind to how somebody looks, that Dusty would have had a shot?
No way. I mean, Dusty was past his prime by this point. His whole act was based upon blood, violent matches, and doing a style of wrestling that worked in the territories. And Vince, very occasionally, they do blood in WWF from 84 onwards, but wasn't very often. And Dusty was a guy that was, he had a match laid out and it worked well with certain heels. Well, in fact, it worked brilliantly with certain heels, but it wasn't really the sort of match that Vince would have promoted. And you saw what they did with Dusty when he finally came in 89. Obviously, he was at this point 5 years older. But I mean, Vince just didn't take him seriously. He just didn't. And, okay. Dusty had been mega over from his 1974 face turn. Another 10 years on to that, he was kind of past his prime, past his best. So I just don't think he would have been the guy to front the company. I just can't see it. And he was really synonymous with championship wrestling with from Florida and Georgia and all these other territories that had seen him many, many times. Hogan still felt fairly new, obviously done the stuff in AWA, but he wasn't really a national star, been overexposed. So I just don't think Dusty would have been the guy, because of the style of wrestling was very much based on the blade, lots of selling, and I mean he could have been, I guess, a star there. I think someone wrote into Q&A actually about Dusty just a few months ago, and I explained what I thought they could have done, and I felt like a Dusty and Hogan tag team actually would have done great business together. But Dusty as the actual heavyweight champion, and Vince being so obsessed with physiques, I mean, really? That there was, that there was that was just going to be the breaking point for Vince, because Vince obviously loved the bodies, didn't he? He wanted guys with massive bodies and massive physiques, and Dusty was the reverse of that. I mean, that would have been the that would but the term I was searching for there was a deal breaker. That would have been the deal breaker for Vince McMahon Jr. He wanted to push guys who looked like Superman, and Dusty didn't look like Superman and was a huge star in spite of the way he looked because he was so charismatic. Could connect with audiences, and had a style of wrestling, with the heavy sell, with the blood, the big comeback. Yeah, it would have worked in WWF, but it would have meant then that it would have been then going down the blood and guts route, and that was something that Vince Jr. was very conscious to avoid, because it was more of a sort of sanitized version of wrestling, because he knew that that would play better on network TV and with advertisers and sponsors, particularly Kenny, with a product that was geared towards children.
I mean, to me, I think if it could, if the, because I think the question kind of has to be predicated on if Vince was to change his mind on what he wanted. I think if he did, I think Dusty could have, they could have done well in the US, but I just don't think Dusty would have been the guy to break the UK and break Europe with them. I just don't, because he's got quite a strong accent. Hogan was just this kind of Hogan just kind of, I think Hogan, like Flair, who we talked about, they were just kind of larger than life people. And Dusty was in a way, but I just don't think he would have been, I don't think it would have worked internationally. But it's an interesting thing to bring up that that was Cornette's opinion. But we did mention on What's Going Down about Drew McIntyre re-signing with WWE. He even got a sword from The Rock. You can't beat that.
I mean, what a beautiful looking sword. Shame The Rock wasn't there to present it, which he said he was going to do, but he was otherwise engaged eating pizza, I believe.
Yeah, so but he you know so he gave him the sword by proxy, and but Drew has signed a 3-year deal, and I wondered, obviously WWE want 5-year deals, that's kind of what they want. Drew managed to get 3. It's a smart move for Drew, right? And especially in a climate with two companies, to get a 3-year
Course.
deal, he's got to be pretty happy with himself.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he is. I mean, it's they reckon it's millions of dollars per year, and so it should be, because this company is making more money than ever before, and that should be shared with the talent. And he played hardball. He I mean, that could have been the longest negotiation period in modern wrestling history, couldn't it? I mean, it just went on and on and on for months. So I'm sure that Drew looked very pleased when the sword was presented to him, and I'm sure he was delighted with the dollar amount as well. And he's earned it, Kenny. As we say every week on the podcast, this is one of the best characters in wrestling. He's got this feud lined up with Seth Rollins. They can have a rematch. He's got the stuff with Punk. There's all sorts of other things that he can do as a babyface when he finally turns. He could do the faction with Gallus. That could work well for him and for them as well. And yeah, there's so much he can do for this company. And with this character, it's still a very fresh and original character, isn't it? There's so many different directions he can go. He can revisit the Sheamus feud. I mean, okay, we saw banger after banger between those two, but I mean, they can do that match again with the title on the line when he wins it from Damian Priest. So good for him. I hope he's earning 3 million, 4 million a year, Kenny. He damn well deserves it. That's what I say. What do you say?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm going to be biased, obviously, in this scenario, but I think he's worked so hard, done so well for himself, and yeah, I mean, they're making so much money that he should be able to get this amount of money, and I think it's smart for him to do the 3-year thing because I mean, if you do the 5, they can start, say he signs a 5-year deal and then 2 years in, they just don't use him very well. Well, then he can go at the end of the third year. I think there's a lot of power in that. And I think it's very smart because, I mean, now it kind of seems like maybe that's what he held out for. Maybe he held out and said, "Like, I'm not signing 5. I'm not doing it." And ultimately, I think that's going to be good for him because, I'm sure, there's a point where you're in the ring at Cardiff thinking you've just main evented a pay-per-view and you've got to listen to Tyson Fury doing karaoke. What do you think? Don't know about this.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah, absolutely. And the thing as well is, I mean, after 3 years, I mean, he's probably going to make 10 million over 3 years, probably something like that. I mean, bear in mind, obviously, he's going to be paying a hell of a lot of tax on that. He doesn't get to keep it all. And this is the thing we always forget with celebrities or wrestlers or, actors or sports men and women. When they're making these huge sums of money, that's not their take-home pay. A hell of a lot of that's going to the tax man, even in Florida, which has got very attractive tax laws. But I mean, he's going to be independently wealthy by the end of this run. He won't have to work again if he doesn't want to. And you know what? After 3 years, he might just go part-time. He might just say, you know what? I want the Roman Reigns deal. It's what I want. And at that point, maybe they'll be willing to give it to him. And if that's what he wants, then go for it, I say. Good for you, Drew. Don't let these people push you around. This is what it's all about in life and in your career, reaching a certain point where you start making the rules and you start telling people what's what. And it obviously takes a very long time to reach that point, but he's reached it, and good for him.
Very last question, Finn, before we go. Backlash France is this weekend. We don't quite have time to do a full predictions for the show, but you know, there's only five matches announced. Cody Rhodes, AJ Styles for the WWE title, Damian Priest, Jey Uso for the world title, Bayley, Naomi and Tiffany for the women's, Kabuki Warriors, Bianca and Jade for the women's tag, and Randy Orton, Kevin Owens against the Bloodline. What do you think is going to be the match that is the match of the night? What's going to stand out the most on that show?
I mean, I really hope it's going to be Damian Priest versus Jay, you know, because these two, Damian Priest doesn't feel like a top guy to me. He doesn't feel like a world champion. And we both believe that Drew is going to take the belt from him at Clash at the Castle.
Yeah.
And I think in the interim, Damian Priest needs to really go to town as champ. He really needs to deliver. And I think Jay needs a really big match that's going to really sizzle after the disappointment of his match with Jimmy at WrestleMania. Did you see the interview he did on, was it Gorilla Position, Kenny? I think it was.
Yeah, James Devo, Gorilla Position, where he said he felt they let the crowd down.
Yeah, he let people down. So I think he's going to be doubly eager to deliver this Saturday. So I really hope it's Jay versus Damian Priest. I hope that's the match that just blows everyone's socks off. What do you think? What's the match that you're expecting big things from?
I think Cody and AJ will do very well. I think they're both absolute pros. I think they'll be able to do it. But I do think that Jay and Damian is the other one, because Damian Priest is probably very well aware of the things that people are saying about everything about the world title. People are talking about is not to do with him. It's to do with other people. So I think he's going to have his best foot forward to try and nail that, like Jey Uso would, for the reasons that you said. So I'm going to agree with you. I think it's probably going to be, I hope it's Jey and Damian, but if not, it'll be Cody and AJ. But
yeah, I think so. I mean, I hope Tiffany Stratton has a really good night as well, and Bayley also. So yeah. I can't really call that one. It seems too soon for Tiffany Stratton to become champ. Maybe Bayley will retain when she pins Naomi.
Yeah, we shall see. Well, listen, that's all the time we've got for today. We'll be back with what's going down next Monday.
Monday. We'll be reviewing Backlash.
Reviewing Backlash and all the stuff from that and from SmackDown the night before. So thank you for all your support, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.